This is DJ Plebe, reporting from Spain for Radio Autonomía. In Mexico City today, November 4th, behind police barricades, the G20 finance ministers and central bank governors have their third meeting of the year. Among the topics they discuss will be the crisis of the Eurozone. But the three-year-old crisis is old news. According to the most recent data from Eurostat, in September, unemployment reached 11.6% across the Eurozone as a whole. This is a record high for the region, but if you break down the numbers, you get a very different picture. In the northern countries, unemployment is lower than in the United States, 4.4% in Austria, 5.4% in Germany, and the Netherlands. While in the southern countries, it skyrocketed, 25.8% in Spain, 25.1% in Greece. Meanwhile, youth unemployment in Spain and Greece is over 50%. So averaging the Eurozone unemployment covers up a hidden story of vast inequality. While the Eurozone proclaims to be a newly unified bloc, one Europe together in economic cooperation, the crisis has revealed a serious gap between Northern Europe, especially Germany, and the Mediterranean countries at the south. Austerity is in the interest of countries like Germany, whose banks were responsible for many of the loans that Greece and Spain, for example, are threatening to default on, since it ensures that these countries dedicate as much of their remaining funds as possible to pay back the banks. Things are bad in Spain, but they're even worse in Greece. The government is expected to officially run out of money on November 16th and is depending on the Troika, that is the IMF, European Union, and European Central Bank, to release over 30 billion euros of loans. But the loans, even if they do become available, come with not only debt, but also another austerity package that'll further depress the economy. In addition to the generalized economic misery, the crisis has created the conditions for the rise of the neo-Nazi party called Golden Dawn. The party has the support of the Greek police, half of whom voted for Golden Dawn in the last election. And together they've been using vigilante violence to attack and terrorize immigrants across the country, who they blame for the economic problems. The only defense comes from anarchist, anti-fascist, and anti-authoritarian organizers, who have come together to confront them. As with the Golden Dawn, police violence is escalating as well. Last month, there was a general strike on October 18th, and a 65-year-old man died, probably from inhaling too much tear gas. There's a great new video up from a compañero of ours named Brandon Jordan at the Occupied London blog. The webpage is blog.occupiedlondon.org, which has news and updates from Greece written in English. In the video, one of the compañeros who works on the blog says there's so much violence in Greece that it's becoming banal, and that things are so desperate for many people that a single day of action or strike isn't going to satisfy their needs. But they're still doing them. There will be a two-day strike on November 6th and 7th, and then a general strike on the 14th. And it's not just in Greece. On November 14th, a week from Wednesday, a general strike has been called for by major unions in Portugal, Spain, Italy, Greece, and Cyprus. And it will be joined by decentralized actions across Europe, convoked by the European Trade Union Confederation, which represents 85 labor organizations from 36 countries across Europe. This will be the first time there's ever been a joint general strike across the Iberian Peninsula, and with Greece and Italy as well, an arc of joint resistance to austerity is beginning to emerge. In Spain, where I am, the November 14th date wasn't the first date suggested for the strike. Back in September, the anarcho-syndicalist union called CGT, that's the Confederación General de Trabajo, or General Confederation of Labor, called for a general strike in Spain on October 31st, but the CGT is relatively small, and a lot of folks I was talking to thought the strike wouldn't really amount to very much. A few weeks later, the Social Democrat Comisiones Obreras and the Socialist UGT, the Unión General de Trabajadores, which is linked to the center-left Socialist Party, called a general strike for November 14th to coincide with the date already called for by Portugal's main trade unions. Eventually, the CGT decided to push back its own call to coincide with the November 14th date. Didn't cancel its call for the 31st, but changed it to a day of action instead of a strike. It wasn't very big in the south, but in Barcelona, CGT members teamed up with workers from another anarcho-syndicalist union called CNT and made some impact. This is an interesting tension that's playing out between the major, more mainstream unions and some of the more radical ones. I was at a demonstration in Madrid on September 15th that illustrates this tension nicely. It was a day of action, not a strike, called for by Comisiones Obreras. There were at least 60,000 people on the streets that day, and most of them participated in the main march. But there was an alternative march called for by the CNT, as well as a number of the neighborhood assemblies that emerged out of 15M, or the Indignados movement. That march met in a different place and took a different route. At one point, we actually ran into the main march, going the opposite direction, and continued to march through the middle. Here was one of the things folks from the alternative march were chanting. That means something like, these unions sell out so cheaply, they sell out for so little in return. A couple of compañeros in the march explained the criticism.
We're in a demonstration against cuts to social services that the government is implementing, but in reality, the cuts come from the system. This march is more rooted in the community, more social, more real, less quote-unquote social democrat. There's a lot of unions, the biggest unions that can mobilize the working class, that end up negotiating and receive direct subsidies from the state. So they're not really independent and can't generate real alternatives.
We have some big handicaps, and one of them is the official trade unions. Comisiones Obreras and UGT are part of the problem. They're not and can never be a solution. They're the ones who agreed to changing the retirement age to 67. They signed on to cutbacks in union contracts. So they're a big handicap. They have a lot of power. The comisiones and UGT receive a lot of state subsidies, and they can mobilize a lot of people. But their mobilizations are always organized for their own interests. It's in the alternative movements where we have to work more, spread the word more, reach out to more people. The important point to take from this is that the major trade unions aren't striking to overthrow capitalism or even to halt or roll back austerity measures. They strike as a show of force so when they sit down at the negotiating table, they can angle for a better piece of the pie, so they can position themselves more favorably when it comes to what's going to get cut. The union managers are bureaucrats representing institutions that benefit from the current system. They're capital's intermediaries, managing the rage of the workers in the face of austerity. But for rank-and-file workers, as well as the unemployed and precarious workers of the austerity economy, the general strike is a moment in which the horizon of possibility opens up. Direct action becomes possible, material damage can be done to capital, and lines of solidarity and mutual aid materialize and are strengthened. So the general strike on the 14th won't end austerity, and it certainly won't bring down capitalism. But it will definitely do some serious damage to the capitalist and political classes that continue to profit from the austerity they demand and implement. Not only that, the general strike is already creating the possibility for new forms of solidarity and mutual aid that move beyond traditional organizing models linked to and circumscribed by the state and its territorial boundaries, all of which place real limits on the radical potential of these actions. Reporting from Spain, where I'll be on the 14th, this is DJ Plebe for Radio Autonomía.